War Room, Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to the War Room, December 10th, year of our Lord, 2019, episode 66, live from Capitol Hill on the John Fredericks radio show, the Salem Broadcast Network nationwide, americasvoice.news, and on cable TV, on Newsmax TV. It's crossing 70 million homes. Cable network founded by Chris Ruddy. We had Chris in here yesterday, the founder, CEO of Newsmax, and a fantastic show on a historic day. Another historic day on Capitol Hill. Raheem Kassam of UKIP fame and Brexit. Raheem is, we got a big week this week in the United Kingdom. We'll get a little bit to that later. Big election on Thursday. Jason Miller, the campaign communication senior strategist in the 2016 Come From Behind victory of President Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States. And we're very honored to have back in the war room today Senator Mike Braun of Indiana. Before I get to Senator Braun and get his observations, another historic day, action taking place even as we speak, Mr. Kassam.
Right now, in the House, you have a lectern erected in front of the nation's media at which Nancy Pelosi stands. To her right, Jerry Nadler. To her left, Adam Schiff. And she appears to be going through now the two articles of impeachment. We believe two so far articles of impeachment that are going to be brought against President Trump. We're keeping an eye on what Speaker Pelosi is saying up there right now.
Okay, there's two things. This is beyond a quick march. This is jammed in, fast attack. You know, don't let anybody get any air to even breathe or think about things. From yesterday's evidence was presented. You said it perfectly yesterday, Miller, that they have drawn these up over the weekend. But what's so stunning is the weakness of the charges, right? This is abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, but no bribery, no extortion, nothing from Mueller, no obstruction of justice. Senator Braun, as you sit here today, and you're going to be a jury member, so we don't get you too crossed up, but as you sit here today, can you give us just your general observations of and put this in perspective historically?
So, for me, this goes back 2 years ago when we originally started hearing we're going to impeach the president when there was no reason. They had no foundation other than they wanted to do it. A disruptor coming in, shaking up business as usual. I think it tainted the process from the get-go. When the Mueller report fell flat, I think they had to calculate, is there another vector we can use to try to impeach the president? Of course, it's Ukraine issue. And that was focus grouped and I think polled all along the way. Started out.
You're that cynical that you think that these guys are that cynical that they, the entire time, instead of thinking about the direction of the country, the good of the country, this was focus group polled, specifically looking at not just their base, but what they could sell to independents or low information voters?
No doubt about it. I mean, and they laid it out, you know, 2 years ago. So I don't think that was hard to figure out. For them, it's got to be a calamity at this point when you've made every effort through the behind-the-scenes hearings and then the public version of it, trotting out the constitutional experts, and it's rehashing all the same stuff.
Did that impress you, the constitutional experts?
No.
You're pretty even-handed, and you come from the great heartland. Indiana folks are supposed to be common sense, you know, the backbone of America, you know, but they look at city folks as kind of like, hey, you know, what are they trying to pull on me? Those constitutional guys, they all came from Harvard and Yale and all these places. They didn't sell you?
That would normally, for somebody from the heartland, be a warning sign to really listen. That's what that would be. But it did crescendo about a month and a half ago. And at the point where it hit the hard ceiling and then kind of stayed there and then started backing off.
You mean the polling against the president? This is when there's real no defense of him. This is the 6 weeks she had from the UN day on the 24th of September, those six weeks of free shots on goal.
Exactly. And I think there they were being deceived in that. That was so early, and they really wanted that to go another 10 to 12 points. It just didn't get there. And then...
Why was that?
Well, because there was nothing tangible. The great questions, did you see anything impeachable? Was there any direct evidence? And every testifier had to say no. The case started to crumble. And that's when you try different versions of it and thinking that since there was no new information coming out, that's where we're at currently.
Was that a tell for you when they actually got to the broadcast TV part of the early part of the House intelligence, when they actually Gates forced them to come up publicly? You didn't see any movement against the president of actually receding. Was that a tell to you that there's the American people are weighing and measuring and don't think there's much here?
Yes, and I was mostly watching, was there going to be a separation between what you thought should happen with impeachment and then the polls of what were going to happen in 2020. When those started to break with the Marquette poll a couple weeks ago, that had to be, alarm bells going off everywhere for the folks that have been orchestrating this for 2 years. And then when you had three polls just a few days ago that Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin outside the margin of error.
And that Wisconsin flip was stunning.
Amazing, amazing. And that means that is intensified against the whole process. Here, we get back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, sunk costs. They put so much time and effort into it. That is why they're going through two, when it was a plethora of different possibilities for articles of impeachment. They're now down to two. And
sunk costs, you mean, because you're an HBS grad, Harvard grad, you saying that they've got so much invested on how they got here. The nullification project has been from the early morning hours of November 9th of 2016. And they, Raheem, jump in here.
Just want to break in here with the confirmed breaking news that they are only going for these two articles of impeachment, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Jerry Nadler up there explaining
does
that.
Does this, right, Senator Braun, and Jason, jump in here. What Raheem's reporting, does that mean the whole Mueller obstruction of justice, the nine things that Mueller's going to get back to at some point in time, does that mean they had a full opportunity to go full Mueller and obstruction of justice? Does that show that the Mueller obstruction of justice didn't exist?
Well, apparently so, or not to the point where you could do anything with it. And I think this will be a confusing point to the public as well. Obstruction of Congress. You know, that's flailing.
Do people care? Or do they look and say, you know what, we hate those guys anyways?
It's just going to give more evidence that they're searching for straws here. They're running out of time and they're running out of good reasons. And here, an easy calculation on their part, we've got to go fewer rather than more because the case is weak.
Well, yeah, and Senator, you called this out a week ago when you said that Nancy Pelosi, using my words here, but basically saying Nancy Pelosi's having a tough time to hold her caucus together. I'd describe it as a bipolar caucus. I think they're really, because the buried lead in everything this morning here, nobody's happy about this. You don't see Ocasio-Cortez or Rashida Tlaib out there pumping their fists and doing the victory dances. You hear
they're not fundraising off it this morning.
No, and the best that you can see from the Democrats is they're trying to do this this fake air of sincerity, saying President Trump is a clear and present danger to the United States. But nobody from the Democratic side is happy about this. They're looking at, if you're from the hard left, you're looking at saying these are two flimsy articles. This, we wanted to go and drive the man out of office, have him drawn and quartered in public. If you're one of these 31 Democrats in Trump districts, you're mad that Pelosi just sawed off the plank behind you.
Yeah, you are really scrambling at this point, and they've got to go through with it.
Why do they have to go through with it?
Because they've invested so much in it. And I do believe that their only kind of scrap out of all of this is going to be that they can officially put a blemish on the president's record, when they wanted to do much more than that. They wanted him to be removed. And I think that has got to be the only rationalization at this point, because politically, and I think they want to get this done quickly, because the more they belabor it, the more it's going to hurt them into 2020, as the polling has shown. And that is how they do everything.
And I'd say also, I mean, take a look at the media both last night and this morning. They almost appeared crestfallen. I mean, I was watching Chris Cuomo last night, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some kind of PSA advisory that CNN anchors are now allowed to bring emotional support animals on set.
Post-impeachment depression.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they just look completely depressed.
Well, it was also so bogus.
This is it?
You called it yesterday that they've had to have these things drawn up over the weekend. To come from the next day is ridiculous. You had the evidence yesterday. It should at least take you a week to put this thing together. It's this now. Trump has become a farce. Raheem, talk about the website. We've got to go to break here in a second. We're going to come back to Senator Braun. Warroom.org's on fire.
Yep, we were one of the first to break the story last night about these two articles of impeachment being brought forward. That has been confirmed this morning. So if you want all the latest, make sure you're tuning in at warroom.org. We have a daily newsletter you can sign up for. And that's your place where you can go to subscribe to all the podcasts, listen to all the shows, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube, you name it. It's on warroom.org.
Okay, we're here every day, 7 days a week, until the day after President Trump, the 45th President of the United States, is acquitted. Stephen K. Bannon, Warroom Impeachment. Return with Raheem, Jason, and Senator Mike Braun in a moment.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, episode 66. We're live on Capitol Hill, historic day. The articles of impeachment have just been discussed by Speaker Pelosi, Nadler, and Adam Schiff. Raheem, can you give us an update?
Yes, the two articles of impeachment laid out against President Trump by Jerry Nadler, speaking up there after being introduced by Speaker Pelosi, he laid them out. Number one, abuse of power. He said it is an impeachable offense for the president to exercise the powers of his public office to obtain an improper personal benefit while ignoring or injuring the national interest. And number two, obstruction of Congress. He says a president who declares himself above accountability, above the American people, and above Congress's power of impeachment, which is meant to protect against threats to our democratic institutions, is the president who sees himself as above the law. So that's what they're trying to get Trump.
Senator Braun, you're part of the jury pool, so I don't want to query anything here with that, but is it how does this all strike you?
Well, to me, I'm not surprised we're here today. They invested so much in it. Where we go from here and what's it going to look like in the Senate. I think there will be several Democrats in the House that don't vote for the articles. I think there, once it gets here to the Senate.
You're saying that you think there's some Senate Democrats that are.
No, I'm talking about House Democrats that.
How many do you think will vote for this?
Well, there were, two before? I think now, politically, since the tea leaves are showing. Such evidence in swing states, especially, that it's moved against impeachment and it's helped President Trump in 2020, that's going to change a
few
minds.
Of those 30 or 31, how many can she lose and not have this viewed as hyper-partisan?
I think that if she loses 5 up to 10, that's the range where it even gets worse for her. And I think she's in peril of that occurring unless there are extreme measures to herd the cats into some type of vote closer to unanimity.
You think they're going to have to whip this?
I think they are, because politically things have cascaded in the wrong direction so significantly. That Marquette poll I thought was an outlier maybe 2 weeks ago. Now when you get polls in the big three swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, outside the margin of error, where it shows Trump beating any Democratic candidate, that's bad news.
So, Senator, one, take a look at the Senate, what this is going to look like as we go to a trial. I'm assuming it's going to be in January, but Politico last night, buried lead in there, I think it was down in paragraph 10, had the White House saying, why not just go ahead?
No, the White House was pushing to get on with it right away.
Get it right, right now.
No break.
So I think the White House will be doing that. They're going to want full ability to make their case. So that would beg the question, do you have live witnesses? Do you get at it immediately? There is structure in terms of once it's delivered by the House managers to the Senate, where you have to get on it, I think, the next day. At that point, since 51 votes will be able to determine any rules, especially on timing. My guess is the White House will want to get at it. I'm guessing the vote in the Senate is going to be to start at January 6th or 7th. That's my feeling at this point. And I think the White House can do whatever they want, which is going to build the public case that they are anxious now that it's here to make their case.
You left it open as even a question that'd be live witnesses. Where do you think that all stands? I mean, the president is, as Jason said, he's Mayfield. He's the best counterpuncher ever. He's going to want a vigorous, particularly after going through this in the next week, he's going to want a vigorous defense of himself.
I think you bring live witnesses into it, where, in my opinion, this would be 10 days to 2 weeks with the evidence we have to date.
Do you think there's any chance there's not live witnesses as you see it today?
I think that that'll be probably the most careful consideration because it has opportunities, it has potential pitfalls, and it definitely takes it from being succinct to belabored.
And what do you think the realistic odds are of Joe or Hunter Biden being called in as witnesses?
Well, I think that if they go to live witnesses, that there's a distinct possibility that that would be the case. I'm sure once that was decided upon, live witnesses, that the president would want to bring in some of the folks like them.
Senator Graham was on Fox over the weekend on Maria Bartiromo. And seemed to the House of I think they view it as the House as a little hot, runs a little hot. This has been a little messy. You've seen the committee things. Yesterday was high drama as people went after each other. You had guys like Matt Gaetz, who's a firebrand. And his implication was the Senate's going to have much more decorum and this thing ought to be handled quickly, moved on, and just – and when you got – and his, I think his quote was, once you got the votes, vote it, and let's get out of there.
And that point of view could prevail. I still think that doesn't preempt the president from talking about all this stuff. My guess is if it would be on the quick side where you wouldn't have maybe the complexity and the length of what the White House may be talking about, it'll be a gift horse that the White House won't look
at. But Lindsey Graham held out you could do judiciary, you could do oversight in the Senate, you could cover these throughout the years. You think that's going to cover it and satisfy the president?
I mean, it remains to be seen. We'll see how vocal they are on wanting to do the process in their way. And then the Senate, with individuals like Lindsey, of course, Mitch McConnell, and 51 votes would be what we need.
So what's your latest take on how long the Senate trial might run?
I still think the biggest variable is going to be depositions versus live witnesses. And if it is depositions, say it's the more subdued version of what the trial could be like, 10 days to 2 weeks, because I don't think there'll be nothing new, and we'll get through it in that amount of time. And some senator will make the motion to move it to a vote. And my gut tells me that there will be 51 saying yes.
Real quickly, we only get you about another minute. Senator Mike Brown, Indiana's got to jump. The IG report yesterday, Lou Dobbs went off on it last night with Victoria Tenzing and Joe DiGenova. What's your initial assessment?
Thank goodness we're doing it, and they pushed it in the first place. I think the IG report, of course, the one side saying it's the vindication that there was no basis in terms of any stuff going on that shouldn't have been. Of course, there were 51 issues of technicalities or mistakes. That doesn't happen if there wasn't a rash move to do something without
strong
foundation.
Given the president's tweets this morning, you think Christopher Wray stays as FBI director?
You know, I wonder. I think probably he will. I think that the big deal is going to be what U.S. Attorney Durham comes up with and A.G. Barr. And from what they've said, this is going to be pushed further. And, of course, Lindsey Graham is going to interview the IG.
Isn't it? That's live, I think.
Very interesting that this is all kind of culminating at the same time.
Senator Braunwald, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We've got a short wrap-up. Let's go back to the website. News is breaking all the time. This is why we get guys like Senator Braun in here to help us drive the news.
Yeah, absolutely. Warroom.org is the website. We are aggregating all the best information, all the top information up there, as well as bringing you unique analysis. We were one of the first, again, to have a real, proper, hard rundown of the IG report yesterday, stating that it actually does confirm that there was bias, but it said not intentional political bias. And that's something that escaped a lot of the news anchors yesterday. Warroom.org had all the news there. Lead on the site at the moment, Steve. Backtracking, only two weaker articles of impeachment to be brought forward.
Go to download the podcast. Podcast Absolutely. Is already at, 500,000 downloads?
Reaching, they can't. I'm going to press release on that.
When you're the 500,000. Okay, this is War of Impeachment. Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, Raheem Kassam. Thanks, Senator Mike Braun, the great people of Indiana. We'll be back in just a second.
War Room, Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 10 December, the year of our Lord 2019, live from Capitol Hill, episode 66, on the John Frederick Radio Network, nationwide on the Salem Radio Network, America's Voice.news, and Newsmax TV. I want to go to the team, Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. We're just honored to have Senator Mike Braun in here, who broke a little news. I want to, Raheem, let's go through, and Jason, summarize for the audience exactly where our historic day, Speaker of the House, presents two articles of impeachment on the 45th President of the United States. The Nullification Project takes another step forward.
Yeah, we've just seen the fourth President of the United States to face impeachment now as the Democrats bring forth two articles of impeachment, which is at least half of what we were expecting. We were expecting four, if not more, articles to be levied against the president. This just goes to show how weak the Democrats may think their case is, and especially what the substance of those articles are. We've heard this morning, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Not the hardline bribery, high crimes and misdemeanors.
No treason, no bribery, no extortion.
They've gone for very flexible things.
Is this because they focus group this?
No, I don't think it's because they focus grouped it necessarily. I think the nation has been their focus group right now. Seeing what has been happening at town halls all across the country in those swing districts, seeing what's been happening on the media when their guys are getting chopped up, seeing what the moderate Democrats or Democrats in those swing districts like Max Rose have been saying, don't go back to the Mueller report. We don't want to do this. We want to stick to things that we can prove. These are the things they think they can prove. And it goes to show, again, despite what CNN and all these guys have been saying over the last couple of weeks about the testimony of Fiona Hill and Bill Taylor and bombshell, bombshell, bombshell. I think we went through a week of bombshells we sat through. The Blitz here on Capitol Hill. And it amounted to this. And far from it being the culmination, it was a very somber tone in there when Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and Jerry Nadler went up there to announce these two articles.
More in sadness than in anger.
They didn't take any questions, which is another tell. And Nancy Pelosi is in about 20 minutes going to give a press conference on USMCA.
Trying to change the topic already. Okay, one of the reasons they're moving so quickly, Jason Miller said this yesterday, that this hearing yesterday on the evidence, unlike in Clinton, unlike in Watergate, you know, unlike was really a drill down back and forth. He said these things have been drafted. And I thought by Thursday would be outrageous enough. The next morning, last night they announced it on CNN and boom, this morning you've got it.
Right. And that's why we said yesterday that as soon as they announced the timetable that this was coming up, that they were going to go and try to vote this out of the committee on Thursday. We obviously just found out that they're going to have the articles today, but then even a full floor vote next week this early. It basically said everything yesterday was a complete waste of time. And you could even make the case to
sham.
It was even last week.
They're playing into the sham. Even if you don't believe the president and his defenders, rhetoric on sham, that makes yesterday a sham. Just so to the basic end of American just dialing in saying, why did you do that? And they come out the next day. Right. At least it should have taken a couple of weeks to do
this.
But
it even goes back further than that. You look at Professor Palooza from last week. That was a complete sham. They didn't need – these articles have been drafted. What they were hoping is that there'd be some aspect of public opinion where people would grasp it and say, you know what? We're really going to get them now. These poll numbers, as Senator Braun kept saying, are getting worse and worse. And the one thing that we didn't have a chance to get into is Senator Braun, but there are several Democratic senators that are really on the bubble here. They're looking at this and saying, I don't know if I want to take a yes vote on this going into 2020.
They're making the argument the President of the United States is a clear and present danger. That's where we have to go immediately. Raheem, how does that wash?
Look, they're going to try and Adam Schiff in this morning made the case.
A clear and present danger.
He said, why are we doing this so quickly? And the reason we're doing this so quickly is the argument that the other side is making is, hey, he can just do this with another election and it doesn't matter about the time frame. And that's why the Democrats are saying they're going to speed this up. But actually, the White House wants this sped up as well. So nobody's saying slow down. Everybody wants this to culminate very quickly. Everybody wants this out of the way. And I think Adam Schiff, when he goes to the American people and he says clear and present danger, and he says, we're trying to do this really quick, it doesn't sit well at all, because this impeachment, correct me, this has moved something like four times faster than the Bill Clinton impeachment process. People's heads are spinning out there. And get this. You know, there's a rally in Hershey, Pennsylvania tonight. I'll be there. And Donald Trump and Mike Pence will be there. There are lines out in the rain already. People with little tents, people with their umbrellas standing out there already. This stuff doesn't wash.
Okay, we got to take a short commercial break. Raheem Kassam is actually going to be live from Hershey tonight. We're going to be back on at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6. We're going to have Raheem on from Hershey, Pennsylvania. The vice president is taking a bus tour through Western Pennsylvania. He's going to meet the president in Hershey. So they're going to go to the heartland of this country. This is War Room Impeachment. Stephen K. Bannon, Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return with episode 66, a historic day. The two articles of impeachment against Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States, have been brought.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to episode 66, War Room Impeachment. Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon, getting a little extra advertising.
I think that was John Fredericks.
I think it was John Fredericks, right.
50 bucks a week.
Right, right. The no, John, it's cheap at any price. I want to go, okay, first off, Raheem, Vox Populi tonight live in Hershey, Pennsylvania. The president is going to meet, Vice President Trump's taking a bus tour around Pennsylvania today. Western Pennsylvania is going to meet the president tonight. There's going to be a big rally in Hershey, Pennsylvania, the heartland of this country. He's taking his case to the American people. How can people get you tonight, Raheem?
Perfect timing for it, in fact. Apart from the weather up there in Hershey, I understand, is grim. But I'll be there working the line with our America's Voice.news team and the camera guys. And we'll be interviewing the great deplorables out there. And, you know, we want to hear from everybody. If you voted for Trump last time, if you didn't vote for Trump last time, if you're there just to see what it's all about, we want to get to you, talk to you, have you on camera. And put something together that really reflects what's going on in one of the most important battleground states.
Listen, this is all history, and so goes Pennsylvania, so goes the nation. You got to win Pennsylvania to win the presidency, and that's why it's so important in such an important state. Great folks up there in Hershey tonight. No, they're already in line. Am I correct?
That
they're
is
already
in line. And it's not a small line.
In a cold rain, they're already in line to see the President of the United States.
It's a massive line out there.
So Nancy Pelosi and Schiff got to show me that they can draw those kind of crowds, right? You look at a Joe Biden thing, it's crickets, right? It's like 50 people.
No, there's a guy that he's calling fat and insulting
and
too old to vote
let's
for him.
Let's do some push-ups.
Yeah.
Let's go to, okay, this is so rushed. I want to step back and go through how we get from here to an actual vote, and you know, Senator Braun said, and actually send it to the Senate. Walk me through the process where we go, Mr. Miller.
Yeah, so it's quite remarkable, the timetable here. And again, as we talked with Senator Braun, they're doing it because Pelosi's having a hard time holding her caucus together, and the poll numbers everywhere are tanking. So they need to get this done, get it cleared.
She didn't want the Dirty 30 exposed to any more voices from the constituents saying, I don't want you to do this.
Right, and there was a quite remarkable comment this morning from Catherine Clark, who's a member of Nancy Pelosi's caucus, where she was just on CNN this morning, and she's from
she's in Massachusetts, not really a battleground state.
Right, but here's what she said on CNN, and this was one of those, like, did you really just say that? Quote, House Democrats in swing districts don't need cover. This was when asked a question about House Democrats being in the crosshairs, and then she comes back and says, so we're not worried about the political ramifications. This is a member of Democratic leadership. So this is the mindset, because here's the problem. She's from Massachusetts. She has the Tlaibs and the Ocasio-Cortezes that are boxing her in this position. So no later than Thursday, we're going to see the House Judiciary Committee vote on these two articles of impeachment. Is there a chance they try to rush it through and even—
It doesn't have to go to rules. This is all judiciary in a committee vote.
Yes. Yeah. So this is judiciary. That will clear it from committee. Now, we've talked to the White House, we've talked to members of Congress, that it's then scheduled to come up for a full floor vote next Tuesday, the 17th.
Between Thursday and Tuesday, what has to transpire?
So it'll most likely need to clear Rules Committee because it's not a bipartisan measure. It's very much split along party lines. In fact, the only bipartisan vote is no, as Kevin McCarthy correctly pointed out previously. But it's going to go through that. They'll have some aspect of a floor debate. We don't know how big that's going to be. But
and such a historic thing of impeaching a president, how could she keep members from actually getting to that microphone on the well of the House and arguing to the constituents why they're doing this vote, yay or nay?
So I'm going to push back on this a little bit and say do members really want to get out there? They're pushing this through at such breakneck speed because they don't know how to message it. I mean, look, even you see someone like a Catherine Clark, who, quite frankly, I mean, you have 31 Democratic freshmen in Trump districts, and she basically just told them, go pound sand.
Right.
I mean, in
tough break for a swell guy.
Yeah. You know, sorry, hey, we'll help you find a lobbyist job afterwards. But then, so we're looking at Tuesday.
Including Virginia 7 and Virginia 2.
Right. And what we heard from Senator Braun is that the Senate will have to take an immediate vote, because once those articles come over, they're supposed to pick it up immediately. But what they're going to do is take a vote essentially to table it to either Monday, January 6th, or Tuesday, January 7th. The key thing in between there is McConnell and Schumer have to have a conversation about what that Senate trial is going to look like. Are they going to have live witnesses? Will they have depositions only?
These are not going to be easy things to come to. Remember back in, they talked about the Clinton, in the Clinton situation, then there was much more, you know, comity in the Senate. People had worked together, right? It was a more genteel atmosphere than the highly partisan atmosphere it is today, supercharged. How can they even come to agreement on simple things like live witnesses versus, you know, depositions?
I think this will be easier to come by than most folks will realize, because I think McConnell wants to get it done as fast as possible. I think Schumer wants to get it done as fast as possible, because Schumer, keep in mind, it's not just those 31 Democrats in the House that are in danger. He's looking at Doug Jones. He's looking at a whole host. You know, he's getting pressure from the Joe Manchins, the Kyrsten Sinemas. Other Democrats are saying, I got a vote coming up. I'm not so sure. I mean, and it's not even just that. I mean, look at Peters in Michigan. He's facing a real tough Republican challenge. I mean, there are a number of these senators up in 2020 that are in the crosshairs as well.
Anything, any tweets from the White House so far? Anything? Because I know this morning he was lighting up the FBI director on this IG report.
By the way, who's got Ray still in a job by this time next week?
The over and under. Jason Miller does.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm going to put him in the J. Powell bucket, where President Trump's going to beat up on him.
Gets pounded every day.
Right, exactly. But if he does get dismissed, I think the president, put it this way, his job is safe as long as the impeachment trial is going.
The president is lauding what looks like is going to be imminent support for the USMCA trade bill. 17 minutes ago, he's talking about how great the bill is, and then 14 minutes ago saying looks like good Democrat support for USMCA. That would be great for our country.
Is that snarky that she's going to do it the day after she's going to have a vote on the impeachment? I mean, doesn't this highlight, I know she wants to impeach him without any successes in the House and then do it, but don't the American people see through that you just held, and Raheem, you're going to be coming up with something on the site later today about this, but you've had it for a year, right? And since the nullification project took priority, now you're going to drop it in right after you vote to impeaching.
It proves everything we've been saying.
100%.
This is so damming for the Democratic caucus.
You agree that having that vote the day after is damning.
And the fact that she's delayed it by a year makes it so political. She's built this up to be a big, massive win for the president. This will be Nancy Pelosi's biggest strategic blunder.
Look, if this has been since January the 3rd, it's cost the American economy about $59 billion so far to not have USMCA passed. It's $1,997 per second it's cost for Nancy Pelosi to do this to the country. Just remember that.
That's stunning. You can see that. You're going to be able to see that on warroom.org later today. Okay. This is War Room Impeachment, episode 66. Stephen K. Bannon, joined by Jason Miller, Raheem Kassam, the two gentlemen who run the War Room every day with the great crew that's here. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to come back and wrap up on a historic day, two articles of impeachment against President Donald J. Trump.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 10 December, year of our Lord, 2019, episode 66, live from Capitol Hill on the John Fredericks Radio Network, the Salem Broadcasting Radio Network throughout the country, America's Voice.News, and Newsmax TV, fastest growing cable operation, news operation in the country. Raheem, you got some from last night. We have something we've got to put up.
We just want to tee it up real quick. Last night, when it was announced that just two articles of impeachment, and especially very weak articles of impeachment, were announced, I was watching CNN because there's no better time. It's like watching CNN on November the 8th, 2016. You know, it's just an amazing experience. And, you know, people's heads were spinning. They couldn't believe that they weren't getting, you know, bribery and extortion and treason and all of this
and Mueller and Mueller structure and justice
and Mueller,
right.
and Don no Lemon treason. Had a meltdown and they didn't know what to do. But the one that I really enjoyed was this moment from Chris Cuomo. You might have to listen very closely
because
it's a low audio recording. We'll try and get it done here.
We want to bring in a top House investigator who just got out of a meeting with the Speaker next.
Yeah, I think there may have been a little bit of fake news in there before. I was not in a meeting with Speaker Pelosi.
I never said you were.
Actually, with the judiciary.
That's Chris Cuomo introducing a guest as having just been in a meeting with the speaker, tees it up, comes back from break. The guest goes, no, I think that's fake news. I wasn't in a meeting with the speaker. Cuomo goes, I never said you were.
By the way, he's triggered on fake news. That was definitely a trigger.
And it was a Democrat. It was like a rabid Democrat from Maryland, the other nutty professor, Raskin. He's calling Chris Cuomo fake news.
Fake news.
And Cuomo was just like, I thought he was going to go into like jiu-jitsu mode. And
That brother will never be on CNN again. He's the fake news word. Okay, we got to wrap this up. Raheem, tonight, americasvoice.news, how can people get to you?
Yeah, we're going to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania. If you're there, you can send me a message on Twitter. I'm at Raheem Kassam, RaheemKassam. Otherwise, look for me. I'll be in my tweed working the line with the Americans.
Natalie Attired. He'll be the Natalie Attired guy up there in the sea of deplorables.
Yep, that's me. And you want to come along, say
something. No, Vox Populi is very important. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your comments.
Cameras.
And what Raheem said, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're just there for the historical moment, if you're not a Trump supporter, come to see Raheem and tell him what you
think. I know a lot of media listen to this. So if any of the media up there want to throw down, I'll be happy to bench press you over the impeachment process.
And if
so far, one of the only people who has read all the documents on this thing.
And if any of the squad shows up, got to be there. We're going to be back here at 5 o'clock tonight. Jason and I are going to be holding the coverage. The one thing that we're going to get into tonight is a little bit of the IG report. You didn't have time, and particularly the Afghanistan papers. If you see what President Trump's been up against, if you put this, you frame it around what's in this Afghanistan paper, this amazing job that the Washington Post has done on the new Pentagon papers of the Afghan war, okay? You see what, it's not a deep, it's a permanent bureaucracy. Forget Republicans and Democrats. It's a permanent bureaucracy that thinks it knows better than the nation of what the direction should be. We're going to be getting into that deep tonight. Jason, any closing comments before we jump here?
No, we're going to see a lot of talk about USMCA today with Nancy Pelosi's press conference in a few moments. And President Trump is already throwing down about how good this is going to be for the country, and he's right.
Okay, War Room Impeachment, episode 66. We'll be live tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk more about Hillary Clinton and her rise in the Democratic Party. Stephen K. Bannon, until 5 o'clock tonight and 9 o'clock live tomorrow morning. War Room Impeachment.